The Asian Classics Institute presents The Art of Reasoning with Geshe Michael Roach, recorded live in New York City in March of 1998.
This is the beginning of Class 9.
Tonight we're going to do a subject called Shensou. Say Shensou.
Shensou.
Shensou is not studied in the monastery until you've gone to the winter debates for about 3 years. The first class in the winter debates is about 50 guys. By the time you get to the second year, it's about 20 guys. By the time you get to the third year, it's about 5 guys. And there were only 2 of us who went to the fourth year. So you're up around Shensou, and it looks like that, okay? So you're getting there, okay? The reading for Shensou is very difficult. It's very long. It's about 50 pages long. Don't try to read the whole thing, okay? Go straight to the end of the first part, as you know. And then read the roughly through the formal logic section, and then I think it'd be nice if you read the last part very carefully. The last part is an essay about all the different debating classes that go on at Sarame Monastery, and there are 14 different classes, like junior, sophomore, freshman. It goes for 22 years. In 22 years, you have to finish 14 classes, and the structure has never been written down before, so Rinpoche and I worked on it, and I like it, and it's nice. And these courses are based on that, you know, and that's the whole structure for the 5 or 7 year course, whatever it was, okay? And the whole structure comes from that. So I thought you might be interested to see how it comes from that. So that's a 22-year course in the monastery, and it goes through 6 subjects. And that's what the whole structure of what you're doing is based on. So I thought it might be fun if you saw all the rationale behind it and all the things that they study and what they do in each of the 22 years. So that might be fun for you to read, I think. Okay? Don't try to read the whole first part. Okay? You can do that during the long break that we have, which is, I think, a month or something. Say, Shensou. Shensou. This is another idea of the Buddhist logic schools, and many of the details here are not accepted by the higher schools. So the question is, did the Buddha teach them or not?
Yes.
Sangye Tempa Yimbatha. You telling me it's taught by the Buddha?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I didn't teach you, oh, yeah, yet. Oh, yeah, it means you're in trouble now. Sangye Tempa Yimbatha. It's taught by the Buddha?
Yes.
Okay. Sangye Chuchen, which means what? Consider the Buddha. Seme Kebu. So he's not a person of pramana. He's not a person of tema.
Pramana, but with this pramana, he understood that people aren't ready to get a full discussion.
You just say yes or no, okay? Seme Kebu. Mayimbatha. So he's not an infallible person. He's not a person who can't lie, right? All you say is dur teacher, please. If you disagree, say chichir. If you agree, say dur. No, that's the tagmandu, right? That's the chir, right? You can only say dur, which means right, I agree, or chichir, which means who said that? I didn't say that, okay? Semikibu mayimbatha. So I guess he's not a person who can't lie. Chichir. Oh, semikibu yimbatha. So he is a person who can't lie. So whatever he says is true. Dambi yimbatha. Oh, yeah. So let's take Shensa. I guess he never taught it. Sangye Kitempa Mayimbatha. So I guess he never taught it. This is where you get to use what? Horti! Okay, you got around in a circle, right? The Buddha did teach it. Okay, why? You'll see from the description of it that it's very important for the study of emptiness. And incidentally, you'll see, as we go through the three kinds of shensel, how it addresses three common misperceptions about emptiness. So it's important to go through shensel. Okay, that's why it's important to study shensel. It's not that shensel is necessarily accepted by the higher schools, all the details of it, but it's important for understanding the fine mistakes you might make about emptiness, which were made by Tibetan schools all through the history of Tibetan Buddhism. I mean, there were schools or traditions in Tibet who thought that shensel was emptiness, okay? And it's wrong. And we have to see why. You know, we have to see why, okay? It's close, and no cigar, okay? The first kind is called... Oh, I'm sorry. Shen means something else. Shen means something else. All other. And sel means to eliminate it. I translate this word as exclusion. Yeah, the whole thing as exclusion. Literally what it means is the exclusion of what is other. Okay? And we've talked about the concept already. Dhamma yambale lokpa means the all which is not, all which is not sound. I'll say it again. All which is not sound. Which is another way of saying sound. It's another way of getting it at sound, but through a different process. And in fact, according to this school, that's how you perceive a thing. That's how you perceive an object. It's like some kind of Picasso thing, where you are eliminating, or Rorschach, you know, you're eliminating what it's not in order to get at what it is. And that's, according to them, how you actually conceptualize things. Okay. So Dunrangsen, Shensel means different versions of that concept. The first one is called Dunrangsen. Dun here, I'm translating. It's a big word, and it's you don't have to worry much about it. Objectification. I don't like to use words like that, but it fits in this case. Okay. Normally, dun means object. Normally, dun means the meaning or the actual object. Okay. Here, I mean objectification in the sense of you're creating an object by rejecting all that it's not. You see what I mean? So I'm calling that process objectifying, creating an object, by eliminating mentally everything that it's not, and thereby establishing what it is. And that's not the same as being what it is, okay? A pen looked at from the point of view of being the opposite of all that it is not, and a pen looked at from the point of view of being a pen, are two separate ways of looking at the pen, okay? And they're important for the study of emptiness, that's all. Because some schools have claimed falsely that the emptiness of the pen is the fact that it is void of all that it is not. And if that's what it was, to see emptiness directly, you and me would be out of here a long time ago, okay? Because that's no big shakes. Okay, it doesn't get you liberated to see that. It doesn't stop your mental afflictions from arising to see that. Okay, that's very simple. Okay, so, and then an onsen means a specific instance of something. So in a way, it's getting at, by the way, specific instance is as opposed to chitzen. Chitzen means the concept of a thing, the concept of pen, the general concept of pen. And then rangsen is a specific example, a specific instance of the pen. And here it's that specific instance from the point of view of being everything which is not what it's not. Okay? That's all. And there's two different ways of looking at the pen. It's two different ways of looking at pen. This one is negative, right? It's the opposite of the opposite. It's the opposite of, it's the reverse of all that it is not. So it's a way of looking at it, at a pen, which requires you to make some kind of negations, double negation, in fact. Okay? It's two ways of looking at the pen. So in a way, you can say either the pen is an object or the pen is an objectification. As an object, it's a positive or negative?
Positive.
Positive. As an objectification, it's a negative, and that's the point. Okay, you're canceling out everything that it's not and arriving at the pen, and that's why I added cation there, okay, to make it into a process. Okay, and that's what the concept here is. How many dun rang tens are there? According to this school, only functioning objects, only working things can have dun rang tens. Okay, space, for example, could never have a dun rang ten. So the implication is a working objectification of something. Okay, an objectification of something that does something. Now, why get into so complicated? You know, what's the point? What's the point of doing that? As you'll see when you get to the higher schools, the lower part of the Madhyamika school, people, the lower half of the Madhyamika school, called the Svatantrika, the Rangyupa, they have a problem with functioning things. You know, they and everyone below them, all those schools, have a problem that they can't understand how a functioning thing could be empty. You know, I understand that, you know, a concept might be empty, a theory might be empty, an idea might be empty, a fantasy or a memory might be empty, but a pen or a car that, you know, gets me from here to there, it does something that must be inherent in the object. And since you and I have that same problem, that we are much more likely to think that something that does something is self-existent, the Buddha decided, I better teach Shensa. You know, people have a problem here. You know, people think that, okay, I can understand how a general idea is empty of self-existence, but a pen, that does exist from its own side. You know, the fact that the pen is either writing or not writing is not something that I'm making up with my mind. It has that. The classic example, when we get to Rangyupa, that big thing you see every morning, what? The rising of the sun itself. Okay? Like, I can understand how a pen might be, you know, some kind of projection of my mind, but the sun? I mean, there's 3 billion people seeing that thing. You know what I mean? I mean, that function is not like some projection from my mind, you know? If what you say is true, then 3 billion people must be having a collective projection of this function, of this orb going through the space. And that's exactly what Madhyamika Prasangika says. Okay? 3 billion people have collectively collected the karma to see this thing do the same thing. And when that karma runs out, what?
No more sun.
You're called blind. You're called put in prison for the day. You're called put in my office for the day with no windows. You know what I mean? I mean, the karma wears out or dead. Okay? It is a karma and it wears off. And there's lots of people in the world who can't see the sun. Okay? And it has the karma, we have the karma for it to shift every 12 hours or so. You know what I mean? That it's gone. And that's not an accident and it's not an independent external event. It's a projection. But it feels so real. You know, I mean, I could see how a pen, you know, whether or not the pen writes today is up to my past karma. I understand that. I can accept that. You know, I'll stop stealing people's pens at work And then the pen in the class will work, and I'll be able to read the overhead. Which, if you laugh, you have wrong view. Okay? If you laugh, you don't understand worldview. Okay? That's exactly the only reason why the pen would ever work in this class for each individual person. You see what I mean? If you laugh, you don't get it. You see what I mean? The pen only works insofar and so long as the karma that you collected for it to appear to work is still working, and it wears out. And there'll be the last day that you see the pen write in the Quaker house. And you may not want it to stop, but it will stop. You see what I mean? Because it's a projection. It's not working from its own sign. But it's very hard to accept with the sun. So in order to address that fact, the Buddha taught Dunran Rongtengi Shensel. Okay? You can add Shensel to the end of all these. Okay? Dunran Rongtengi Shensel. So each functioning object, each working object in the world has its own nature of being the opposite of all that is not. Okay, and we call it, if somebody asked you for an example on your homework or something like that, you better get used to Mayambale Lopa. Okay? If you're going to study Sautrantika, second school, Buddhist logic and perceptual theory, you better get used to Mayambale Lopa. It should be like a mantra. Okay, say Mayambale Lopa. Mayambale Lopa. Lopa, always think of pancake, okay? Lopa means to flop over. Lopta means wrong view. It usually means ass backwards, okay? And Mayambale Lopa means the opposite of all that it's not. Mayamba means it's what it is not. And then le means than, than. Lopa means the reverse, okay? The reverse of all that it is not, okay? And it's like a mantra when you debate this every winter for 22 years, or if you make it that far. Mayambale Lopa, Mayambale Lopa, Mayambale Lopa. Okay? In this school, that's how you perceive something. Okay? In English you say of, in Tibetan you have to say than. The opposite, the reverse than. But in English you say of, the reverse of. Okay? Second kind of shensel is called a loi shensel. By the way, we won't go too deep today, and we'll do debating after. Your pen ran out of ink. See? I'm sorry. Your karma ran out of ink. Say loi shensel. Loi shensel. Lo means mind. Okay, general mind. Loi shensel means, I call it a mental exclusion, a mental type of exclusion. And this is just the fact that in this school, when you conceptualize something, you mentally make an image of the opposite of all that it is not. Okay? So remember, this is the opposite of all that the pen is not, and it's an object. And in this school, the pen is ultimate reality because it does something. Okay? That's what makes something real in this school. Okay? It's funny because in the highest school, the fact that it's doesn't do anything in a normal sense is its ultimate reality, okay? But in this school, if it's working, if it's driving, if it's writing, if it's burping, it's real, okay? That's what makes it real. With loi shensel, it's just, can you imagine it to your mind? You see, loi shensel means making an image. It's the imaging of an object. It's the mental opposite of all that it is not. Okay, it's the appearance to your mind of an image of the opposite of all that a thing is not. And you're getting very close to dunji. Okay, you're getting very close to what is really at the root of dependent origination. Okay, because in the highest school, you are mistaking a mental image for the actual object. Okay, in the highest school. So here you're very, very close to it. And I imagine that Lord Buddha was thinking, well, I'll teach him loi shensel when they get grown up enough, we'll go to dunchi. You know what I mean? So it's like an intermediate step. Okay, loi shensel means the image that's produced in your mind, the image that it's defined as the image which appears to conceptualization, which is created by negating all that a thing is not. Okay? And that's how you image something in your mind. Okay? You could say it's the mental image of the opposite of all that a thing is not. See here, we're emphasizing mental image, which appears to a certain state of mind known as, in this school, conceptualization, as opposed to direct perception. Okay? But we don't have to get into that. Okay? So who should I pick on? Oh, you wanted to debate. Okay. Ribongira, che. Okay? What's a ribongira? Ribongira. The horns of a rabbit. The horns on a rabbit's head. Okay? Real horns on normal rabbits' heads as we have experienced them in our lives up to now. Ribongira, che. Okay? Shensel yubi, che. So there is a shensel for ribongira. Okay? For a two-headed, 15-foot purple elephant that's stampeding through this Quaker house tonight, at this moment. There is a shensel for it. Is there a shensel for it or not? Yubeishu. Tamadum. Not tak. Tak. Tamadum. Oh, yeah, okay. Ribongirai shensel meata. So I guess there isn't any shensel for a two-headed, purple, 15-foot elephant that's rampaging through this Quaker house tonight. Meatao. If you agree, say duh. If you don't agree, say chi chi.
La.
Good example of la. Okay, what was la? I didn't quite catch that, which means he's buying time. Okay. Yeah. Shensel yuatao. Does it or does it not have a shensel? That elephant is stamping through the Quaker house tonight. And right there. Yata. Does it have a shensel or not? Labda. Say something. You're going to get in trouble either way. Say duh or chichir. Duh if you agree, chichir if you don't agree. Is there a shensel for that poor elephant? Chichir. Why the hell you say that? So, no, it means that's what he's saying, okay? And then I say, oh, so there's not? Doesn't have a shensel? That poor elephant doesn't have a shensel? The poor elephant that's rampaging through the Quaker house right now, at this moment. Is there a shensel or not? You saying not. I think you're saying not, because it doesn't even exist, right? Maybe. Okay, meata. So if it doesn't exist, it can't have a shensel, right? That's what you're saying, right? Yulata. So if you agree, say duh. If you don't agree, say chichun. So if it doesn't exist, it can't have a shensel, right? If you agree, say duh. If you don't, say chichir.
Duh.
Duh. Okay. So you can't imagine that elephant, right?
Duh.
Yeah. So you lo. So you don't have a mind. Simchen. Mayimata. So you're not a sentient being.
Here.
You are a sentient being. Are you a sentient being? Duh. Duh. So you have sense. Duh. You have sense, right?
Duh.
So you have a mind, right?
Duh.
So you can do a Loi Shensel about an elephant, right? You can make a mental picture of an elephant I'm talking about. It's 14 feet high, it's pink, it's rampaging through the Quaker house tonight.
Duh.
So it has a shensel. Because it has a mental shensel.
Duh.
By the way, he gets caught either way. Classic shensel is the first one. It's a trick question, okay? He was right up to the last moment. So you can't pick on him, really. Okay? He was right up to the very last moment. And then I pulled out a new idea. The only real shensel in this school is something that does something. It's the shensel for something that does something. Those other shensels are just imaginary, okay? And if you read the text carefully, it'll say, anything that's ben me has a shensel, has a loy shensel. Okay? Anything that's ben me has a loy shensel. What's ben me? No true nature of its own. Okay? In this school, they don't say shunyata. They don't use that word. Okay? Den me. Selfless, truthlessness. Okay? Lack of true existence. Okay? Anything which is denme has a shensel. Okay? So now I say,
uh-oh.
I don't remember that one. Let's talk about that elephant, okay? A non-existent thing. So are you saying it lacks true existence? Huh? So, it must exist, I guess. Oh, so it doesn't exist. Does it exist or not? So I say, are you telling me it doesn't exist? Say, teacher. Don't get flustered, just say something. Teacher. Oh, yata. When you say teacher, you're saying no. When you say do, you're saying yes. To a tell, right? To a tell. Yata. You telling me that elephant exists?
Teacher.
Dinmei yinbei. When she says teacher, I have to come back with a tear. She said, why? I said, because.
I thought teacher meant no.
Dinmei yinbei. Because it has its own lack of self-existence. It has emptiness.
So, teacher means,
teacher means, who said that implying I don't agree?
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, we'll go back to the teacher, okay? Yamata. So I guess you're telling me that the elephant exists, right? Teacher, good. Which means I didn't say that. Who said that? Dene yibetcha. Because the elephant has his own emptiness.
Teacher.
No. To cheer, you have to answer what? If you agree to the reason, but it doesn't prove what I'm trying to prove, you say, Kelvamantum. If you don't agree with the reason I gave, you say, Thagmandum. It must exist because it has its own emptiness, so it must exist. I love this. This is when you're having a good debate, you get two different answers. No, you can either say Dhammajung or Kelvajung. Kelvajung means I agree it has its own emptiness, but I don't agree that that proves that it exists. How's that?
Yeah.
Or you could say Dhammajung, which means I don't agree that it has its own emptiness.
Dhammajung.
So it doesn't have its own emptiness. Oh, yeah. So, Dhammajung. So it is self-existent.
It doesn't exist at all.
Huh? So it is self-existent. Then you yimbata. Deme yimbata. Then you yimbata. So it has its own self-existence, right? Chichi. Deme ma yimbata. It's not one. I shouldn't say thing. I can't say thing. See, I have to say it's not something which has its own emptiness. It's not something which is typical of emptiness. How's that? By the way, just because we have to go home tonight, yume kangru yina, say yume, kangru, yina, denme, yume kyo. Okay, yume kangru yina, doesn't matter whether a thing really exists or not, it's denme. It is a kind of emptiness, it has its own emptiness. Okay. Now, you could get into a huge debate, you could say, oh, then it has its own quality, right? I say, yeah. Oh, then it holds its own quality, right? Right, so it durs its own quality, right? Right, so it's a dharma, right? Right, so it's an existing thing, right? No. And it's difficult. It's touchy. In this school, yume kanru yina demi yimbi kya. It doesn't matter whether something exists or not. You see, the quality of not being self-existent stretches farther even than the quality of existence itself. Even 14-foot purple elephants that were never in this room, will never be in this room, and could not be in this room, cannot be self-existent.
But it does have its own quality.
No. It's not a quality, because there's nothing for the quality to be based on. But that's another story. Okay, anyway, Loi Shensel, the first kind of Shensel applied only to working things. I'm just trying to help you when you get to the reading. When you hit that thing about no self-existence, remember it applies to all. To all, I can't even say things, right? To all, whether existing or not. Okay. Loi Shensel applies similarly to all, whether it exists or not. Anything which lacks a self nature has a Loi Shensel. Why? Because you can imagine it. Okay? You can picture the opposite of all that it is not. Okay? You can picture it, right? It can't exist, but you can picture it. And if you couldn't picture it, Mr. Shunupao, you couldn't have said to me, there is no elephant here, right? You could not have said there's no elephant here if you hadn't had a loi shentel of an elephant, because you couldn't have denied its existence here because you couldn't imagine it. Okay, how's that? So if you denied that there was an elephant here, you must have been having a loi shentel about it. Okay, even though it didn't exist. You, in your mind, you pictured this perfect 14-foot purple two-headed elephant rampaging through the Quaker house, probably stepping on all the refreshments that we're supposed to have later. Yeah.
I have one question about the salvia, the concept of doing something. Can imaginary things do something?
Oh, tricky. He's trying to set me up. I don't bite. Another way to get out of a debate is just not to bite in the first place. He says, can an imaginary thing function in this school? The image of a thing can function. How's that? An imaginary thing cannot function. How's that? You know, yeah. Thinking you're going to get fired that day when you're not can give you an ulcer. Right? No, really. Right? But the firing doesn't give you an ulcer because it doesn't exist because the boss wasn't intending to fire you in the first place. But the image of it, yeah, the image can raise hell. Right? Okay. Last one. And by the way, it's the same with all self-existent things, right? Master Shantideva said, "Tapengula maripadengu medzimeyin." You must be able to imagine what a self-existent thing would be like, or you will never perceive emptiness directly. Okay? A self-existent thing would be like the sun rising every morning from its own side. That only exists as an image in your mind. There is no thing which corresponds to that image in your mind. Okay? It doesn't exist. The sun is only rising because you personally have the karma to enjoy its light on that morning. And that is wearing out every time you perceive it. And you will die someday and not be able to see the sun anymore.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say any image is unreal, but that's another debate. Okay. Say Megak. Megaki Shansel. Megak. Megaki. Shansel. In this school, the same thing. You've studied Megak already. And in fact, when they get to the definition of Shensel, they say, I'll tell you what, I'll take a break today. I don't have to write a definition for Shensel because I already wrote the definition of Gakpa. And they're the same thing. Okay? Okay? It's a negation. It's an exclusion. Whether you call it exclusion or whether you call it negation, it's the same thing. Okay? Megak is that negative in the sense of being an absence of something, as opposed to negative in the sense of being not something. The first kind of shensel, if you think about it, was a negative of the first kind, right? In the sense of not being something. Okay, it is not the opposite of all. It is not all that it is not. Okay? It is the opposite of all that it is not. So when I say, bumba mayimbale lokpa, the reverse of everything which is not the vase, you go through two negations there. That's a mayingan. That's a negation in the sense of not being something. Okay? But when I say Megak, what's the classic Megak? There's two. One is ultimate reality, one is plain old reality. Huh? Emptiness itself is a Megak. Okay? It is the simple absence in this room of something which never could have been here anyway, which is, for example, a pen that was functioning from its own side and not because your karma is forcing you to see it function. The pen which could function from its own side, the person in this room that could piss you off, existing from their own side, doesn't exist. And the fact that that doesn't exist is emptiness, and that's a Megak. It's a simple absence of something. Any negative event that ever happens to you, whether it's a person or a traffic jam, and that was what Master Shantideva chose to take off from in his chapter on patience, if it existed from its own side, if it were not your fault, it would be a self-existent thing. And the absence of that is what we call emptiness. Okay? Which implies that you have to take responsibility for your own world, and you have to keep your book and get enlightened. Okay? Okay, Megan. That's about all on Shensel, okay? It in the monastery, in the winter debates, it's about a one-month thing. You debate it for about, 200 or 300 hours. You know, It's a rich subject. It's the whole end of the first chapter of the Pramanavartika. If you think the Dura is hard, the Dura is an oversimplification of the Pramanavartika. Everything in your reading is an extreme simplification of the Pramanavartika. You know, so someday we have to go to that. Yeah.
I still understand why imaginary thing doesn't have quality.
I didn't say that. He said, I don't see why an imaginary thing doesn't have a quality. The thing that the image refers to doesn't have a quality. Yeah. A two-headed purple elephant that could be rampaging through this room doesn't have a quality because there's no basis to support the quality. Like, I have an arm because I have a torso to support it. I have Michael Roach's color because there's a Michael Roach to support it. But there's nothing to support it, so there's no qualities that it has. Otherwise, it would be a thing that possessed its own quality, which is pretty much the definition of a dharma, of an existing thing. Okay? Okay. At this point in the... We're on to formal logic, okay? You've become masters of Shenso. Oh, I have to go back to Shenso for one thing. On your homework, I ask you for examples of each one. For number two, which was what? The mental exclusion, okay? You can say... I have to add a natto here, okay? Sorry. Say, tope, nang yu. Tope, nang yu. Tope in this school means the process of conceptualization, working to perceive a thing through some kind of mental picture as opposed to seeing it directly. When you see blue, you're not having tope. You know, when you imagine how much you dislike your boss, tope is almost like a sentence in a sense, or you're using some kind of you're working through a mental image in this school, okay? And that would be tope. Okay? Like they say, when you perceive blue, you just perceive blue. But when you're thinking about the blue now, you're using a tope, which is a jepak sema, a rang topki. Tope, what's that? Mutop. Anyway, so we're back to this. Tope means some kind of conceptualization. Nangyul means the image that you think you see, okay? Nangyul means the object that seems to be appearing in your mind. The image of the object, nangyul, okay? And as we said, the nangyul for rabbit's horns or for a two-headed 15-foot purple elephant, does the nangyul exist or not?
Yes.
Yeah. Does the thing exist or not? No. Okay? Great. Nangyul. Yeah. That's not the point. The point in this school is if you have anything else than a direct perception, you're using a nangyul. You're working with a mental image. But when you look at blue directly, you're not using a mental image. You're not doing it by means of a mental image. But when I go like this and I say, you know, is there a blue pen behind my back? Then you use logic. You could jepak sema, indirect valid perception. And you are seeing blue in your mind, and you're using a mental image. In this school, that's tope. Not at all. She said, if you don't see something directly, does that exclude it having a sema towards it? No, we went through that. There's all those J-box. There's conventional perception, indirect perception based on convention. Did you run into Uncle Sam today? Will you be ready for Uncle Sam by April 15th? You know, and by convention, you have a perception of this federal bureaucracy eating up your taxes, okay? That's an indirect perception by convention. Is there a blue pen behind my back? If you say yes, you're having then what we call a logical perception of the pen behind my back, okay? And the Buddha said that if you commit sexual misconduct, the city you live in will have bad pollution. Do you believe it? Seriously. Okay. Yeah, I do. I have a kind of indirect perception of that fact because of scriptural authority, because I trust the source. Okay, that's all. Those are the three kinds of indirect perception, all involving a nung yun. They work through an image. They perceive their objects through use of images, as opposed to, in this school, you know, direct perception. Okay? Anyway, dope nung yun. Example of the third one. Say, pumba. Mayimbe. Toa. Pumba. Mayimbe. Toa. This is the shen cell of an object which is the simple absence of something, right? It's the megak one, the simple absence of something. And that's the general fact that no object, every object is devoid, and that's the real meaning of emptiness, right? Every object is devoid of anything from that group of things which it is not. It is devoid of anything that belongs to what it is not. Okay? That's different from saying the opposite of everything that's not the pen. The opposite of everything that's not the pen is the pen. But here we're, and that's a mayinga, which is another reason why it's not emptiness. Okay? But that's another thing. But megak is the fact that this pen is simply doesn't have anything which has to do with all that it is not. That's all. It is simply devoid of that. We're not saying anything about the pen or anything like that. We're not saying anything about its pen-ness. We're just saying this pen lacks anything that doesn't belong to it. Okay? That's all. And in your mind, it should just kind of draw a blank. You know, just draw a blank. By the way, that's emptiness too. And that's why the Buddha taught this one. He's saying, look, what's real emptiness? Draw a blank. Okay, look around this room. Try to find a self-existent object. And when you come up with a blank, you just perceived emptiness. Okay, it's not the opposite of the opposite, and it's not the positive thing. It's the fact that something is absent in this room. What? Two-headed purple elephants and self-existent things that never could be, never will be, and aren't now. Okay, well, what are they like? I don't know. You figure. 12-inch rabbit's horn. A sun that comes up every day because it wants to come up. And not because your karma is forcing it, or because some big dude in the sky has made this sun to come up. Okay? If you want a non-existent sun, well, those would be a couple. Okay? All right? And they'd call me and say, you asked for examples on the homework and you didn't give any. That's why I put a message machine on now. It's a message destroying machine. Okay. And we did that. Oh, we better add one more part. Berna? Of number one, it would be a working thing looked at from the point of view of its being the opposite of all that it is not. You see what I mean? A working thing looked at from the point of view of being the opposite of all which it is not. And in that sense, it's a negative and a working thing at the same time. Okay? Which is a little tricky. Sometimes it's defined that way. Something which is a negative and a working thing at the same time. Say, Berna. Dajijin. Dajijin. Mitate. Chebeche. Berna. Humbashin. Dajijin. Mitate. Chebeche. Berna. Humbashin. Okay, that's a classic jorwa. That's a classic logical statement. That is the classic logical statement. It's also a logic mantra for every 12-year-old in the monastery. Okay? Jorwa. It's a jorwa. Jorwa means put together. Okay? It has a million different meanings. Yoga. Yog. Okay? Nyanjor comes from that. Yoga. Yogi. Yolk in English comes from that. Okay. And it means all these logical elements put together. You have reached a point. You are well through Dunna now. You're about 3/4 of the way through. You have gone through it like a rocket ship. Okay. Someday you'll actually learn the whole thing. And now actually you're getting the main points. But you have to go back and chew on those readings for years and debate them with your friends in Union Park between courses. Okay? We've reached a point in the text where they say, okay, let's slow down a bit. Let's make sure everybody in this room understands all the elements in this logical statement. Okay, what's the subject? What's the reason? What's the thing we're trying to prove? Stuff like that. So we're going to take the same thing. Your homework just, it gives you 14 different parts here that you have to identify. Okay, it asks you to identify 14 different parts. 14 different elements in this logical statement already. By the way, in English, all you got so far is take sound. It's a changing thing because it's a thing which is made. It is, for example, this is the parent part, okay? It is, for example, like a water pitcher. Why do you say, for example, like a water pitcher? Why do you give an example? It's to put you on common ground with your opponent, right? The idea of common ground. You must have common ground, okay? He already accepts that a water pitcher is a made thing. He already accepts that if a water pitcher is a made thing, it must be a changing thing. He already accepts, in fact, that a water pitcher is a changing thing. He accepts all that. He just didn't put it together for sound yet. Okay? That's what makes it a good logical statement. You have total common ground with this guy. He accepts everything you accept. He just hasn't tied it together yet. That's all. And the example is a case where he's already tied it together. You say, come on, you can understand this with a water pitcher, right? He says, yeah, I understand that. Well, sound's the same thing. Okay, that's all. Because we were fighting people who said that sounds aren't like water pitchers. Om is unchanging. Om is eternal. Om never changes. Okay, right? This is the source of this statement came from ancient debates between Buddhists and non-Buddhists. Okay, that's why this is a classic example. Okay, here we start on the 14 elements. You know these, you know formal logic, and then we can go further. Okay? What's the subject that we're debating about in this one? In English. Chichen Karishat. What's the subject? What are we debating about? What's the thing we're debating about? Sound. That's all. Sound Yimbata. You tell me sound is the subject here?
Yeah.
Duh. Duh. Say duh.
Yeah.
That's what I said. You hard of hearing or what? Duh, okay. Dratu Chen Yimbata. Let's pick on somebody else. Marnie. Dratu Chen Yimbata. You telling me sound is the subject in this case?
Duh.
Duh. Duh. Okay, got me. Alright. Finished. The subject is sound. And in Tibetan, Chuchen. Okay. If you want to get fancy, Shenden Chuchen Kyun Me. Okay. But this is the short name. Okay. Second. Shenden Chuchen Kyun Me. I'm going to peek. Let's see here. Oh. Drupcha Karishat. What are we trying to prove? What's the assertion? Drupcha Karishat. That sound is a changing thing. That's all. In Tibetan, Shok. Shok. Pekela. In Tibetan, sho. Sound is da. Dhamitapa. Yimata. Duh. That's what I said. Prove me wrong if you're so smart. Okay, I mean, that's how you have to be in the debate ground. Take a stand and stick with it. Let them prove you wrong. Half the time they can, even when you are. Okay? Okay. Dhamitapa is the dupja. I'm sorry, dupja. Dupja, the thing to be proven, the assertion, okay, the thing we're trying to prove, the idea or the concept we're trying to prove, that sound is a changing thing. A lot of debating is chutzpah, right? You pretend, you play poker, right? You say, yeah, I'm right, okay, and you just pray, you know. By the way, in the text, they do cover these elements, but not all of them. So it probably is wise to write it down. I mean, I wish they had just said, okay, here's 15 or 20 elements, and here's they are. But they don't. They give you, what do they do? They tempt you. They give you like 10 or something, and they don't give you all of them. Okay, let me see what's the next one. Oh, okay. Laura Siegel, quality to be proven, Kadishat. What's the quality to be proven here? What's the quality we're trying to prove here? Say again? Being a changing thing. See? We're trying to prove that that quality applies to sound. So being a changing thing is the quality we're trying to prove. It's part of the dukcha. If you divide the logical statement into four parts now, right? Subject, quality you're trying to prove, reason, and good example that your opponent already accepts. Okay? It's number two. It's element number two here. It's the thing you're trying to prove about sound. Being something changing. Being a changing thing. In Tibetan, mitakpa is the dukcha cha. Being mitakpa here is just mitakpa. Okay? They just say mitakpa. They don't say be mitakpa yimba or something like that. Okay? It's understood in Tibetan. That's the quality you're trying to prove about the subject, sound. Okay. You're a lousy boss because you pressure me too hard and you keep changing my priorities. Okay? You churchin. Lousy boss, yente. Because you keep changing my priorities. Okay? That's all. Dupje chu. Being a lousy boss. Okay? Assertion, dupja. You is a lousy boss. Reason? You keep changing my priorities. The quality to be proven in its explicit form. I don't think we talk too much about that, okay? What is the quality to be proven? Being impermanent, being a changing thing, okay? Being a changing thing is the quality to be proven. Don't forget there can be an explicit form of that, which is the one you actually say. And then there could be the implicit form of that, which is maybe its definition or something similar or something like that. We distinguish between the explicit form of the quality to be proven and the implicit form of the quality to be proven. What would be the explicit form? What would be the obvious stated form of the quality to be proven in this case? Being a changing thing. Okay? It's normally the same thing. Okay? Voila. Mitapa is ng means, in this case, direct or explicit. Explicit. Yeah. Directly stated. How's that? Muki. The quality to be proven as it is directly stated. How's that? I call it explicit. This is important for a lot of other proofs, okay? We'll get into it later. What do you think is going to be the next element? This is the explicit one. Mayingak. Yeah, it's going to be the implicit one. What would it be for mitapa? What would it be for a changing thing? Huh? No. If I say... What's an indirect way to say changing thing? You could say working thing, or you could say something that only lasts a moment, which happens to be the definition of a changing thing. Okay? Why don't we say that? Kechikma. Kechikma means something that only lasts a moment. You want the one above it? Yeah. Yeah, if you're lazy, just change the first word here. If you prove for somebody that something is changing, do you prove for them that it's something that only lasts a moment? There's a huge debate about it. Okay? Do you have to have seen that something is something that only lasts a moment in order to see that it's changing? In practice, yes. You have to experience the qualities of a thing before you experience. You know, the definition has to be experienced before the thing that's defined is experienced. In a sense, if you don't experience hot and burning, we can't say that you have experienced fire. Okay? So, supposedly if you've understood something about fire, you should have understood it about that thing which is hot and burning. But there's a huge debate about it. Okay? That's another story. What is the idea that we're denying with this logical statement? What's the gakja? By the way, here's the usage of the word gacha, not meaning a self-existent thing as it means in the Madhyamika schools. Here it's just, what is it that we are denying? What is the idea that we are denying? Well, what? That what is unchanging? That sound is unchanging. That's all. That's the idea we're denying. In Tibetan, it would be Dat Takpa. Okay? Very simple. Dat Takpa is the gacha. Remember gacha from the old Manyamika days? It wasn't so long ago. December, I think. Okay? In Madhyamika, it means the object we deny meaning a self-existent object, normally. And here, it's meaning the idea we deny. In logic, it's the idea that we deny. It's the opposite of the dukcha, of the thing, of the idea we're trying to prove, of the assertion. How many we got now? I don't know.
Six?
Oh man, I want to have some refreshments. What's the quality that we're denying about sound? What's the quality that we're denying about sound? What's the quality we're trying to prove about sound?
Being a changing thing.
Being a changing thing. So what's the quality we're denying about sound? Being an unchanging thing. And that's called Gakje Chen. In the monastery, they never do it for you like this. You have to figure it out. Okay? It's good to have it done for you once. Okay. Confirming or denying an idea is often done by checking all of the similar cases. What is the set of the group of similar cases in this case? Not made things. All changing things. All changing things. You're checking to see if a made thing is necessarily in that big group that we call all changing things. And that is the critical group here. In fact, in Tibetan it's called the pivot. The whole argument pivots on this. Does that thing fit in that big fat group called changing things? So you kind of, in a sense, have to check them. Do you go through and check every one? No. Or it would have taken you eternity to see that I have a green pen behind my back. You see what I mean? You don't go through, but you check on sort of like a typical basis. Okay? There's a big debate about that. But the whole group of similar things, which is called tunchok, which you had, is all the changing things in the world. So you can say all those dharmas which are unchanging, I'm sorry, changing in the world, which is mitakpe chö. Mitakpe means changing. Chö means all the things in the universe that are changing things is the tunchok. It's the set or the group of similar cases. And your goal as the opponent is to figure out, you know, does a made thing fit in that group or not? Okay. Does a made thing fit in that group or not? Okay. We'll do one more and then we'll take a break because it's exhausting. By the way, I had somebody say, what was it? Oh, they were just talking about how they didn't feel very special or something like that. I said, if you survived this class so far, you must be special, you know. And then they said, no, I'm not so special, you know, I'm just a regular old person. I said, no, you're not. I mean, in the monastery, they say that if you can make it through the first few years of this stuff, you have a good chance of seeing emptiness directly. You see? Because the karma to be interested in this stuff, the karma to be interested in the idea of all that a thing is not, the karma to be thinking about mental images, and do they represent the thing itself, or do they not represent the thing itself? And am I mistaking my mental image for the thing itself? And where does the image come from? Your past deeds. Where does your reality come from? Your perception of your reality. Your past deeds. And being well acquainted with all those fine points and getting into them and swimming in them requires gelwa. Means what?
Virtue.
Incredible virtue.
extraordinary virtue. This subject would put 99.999999% of all Americans to sleep within 10 minutes. Okay? And somehow you care about it. You know, somehow you're attracted to it. Very close to seeing emptiness directly. This is the key. To understand the concept of mental images and what's not there and what you're doing, what the mistake that you're making that has thrust you into this life of suffering is all there. The key is right here. So I say if you're in this room, you're special. You know what I mean? And I believe it. And so don't go around showing me a mopey face, okay? you know, you can be mopey faced at work. But if you're here, you're special. Because you're close to, you're flirting with emptiness. Direct flirtation with emptiness, okay? All right, last one. Say mitincho. The field of dissimilar cases. Okay, why is that important? Well, I'll give you an example. Take sounds. They're changing things. Oh, I love it. Dachichen. Take sounds. They're changing things because they exist. Hey, oh, there's a Kepamatun back there. No, you can either say Kepamatun, which means not necessary, just because an existing thing doesn't mean it's changing, or you can say Dhammadu, which is sound is not an existing thing. Dachichen, mitakte, yebeche. Okay? Take sound, it's a changing thing because it's an existing thing. And then you should say. No, you either can say Dhammadu, which means it's not an existing thing. When I say cheer, you only have two choices. Dhammadu or Kyabamachu. Kyabamachu means I agree it's an existing thing, but that doesn't make it a changing thing. Karisha, which way are you going to go? Kyabamachu. So yuna, mitapa mayime makyata, which means just because something exists doesn't mean it's a changing thing automatically? Duh. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that's what I said. Just because it exists doesn't mean it's a changing thing necessarily. Shop. Karisha, show me something then. Show me something that exists and it's not a changing thing. Karisha. Huh? Namka chechen. Say namka chechen. Namka chechen. Yabata. He said empty space. You say it exists? And it's not mitapa? And you beat me. Okay? Okay? I go back and I check. I said, All existing things must be unchanging. Changing. He says, not necessarily so. Kama machu. I said, are you telling me that just because something exists doesn't mean it has to be changing? Kari shot. What are you going to show me? Kari means what? What are you? Shot means show me. Okay, what are you going to show me? He said, namga chuchen. Take empty space. Then I go back and confirm. Oh, you are top. You telling me it exists? Duh. That's what I said. You tell me it's not a changing thing? There. Yeah, that's what I said. What are you going to do about it? Then I got to shut up. You beat me on all points. Okay? Fini. Okay? By the way, the reason because it exists is not a good answer is that it fits in the mitincho also. Get it? It also fits those things which are not changing. So that's why the idea of the group of similar cases and the group of dissimilar cases is important, because yupa leaks into the dissimilar case group. Yupa also applies to unchanging things, so it's a lousy answer. Okay, that's why you have to understand tunchok and mitunchok. If it leaks over that border between similar cases and dissimilar cases, and in this case, because it exists, leaks over the border into unchanging things, lousy reason. There's no Jacob. What's Jacob? We're going to meet him after the break. Okay? So we have a few more to go, and then we'll do a little bit of debate tonight. We're going to debate that same debate, except I'll have it up there on writing. This time we have it in English. This time it's in your reading and all that stuff. Okay? So see you in 10 minutes. Okay? Magda looks happy. Take sound, it's a changing thing because it's made. What's the reason? Dak Karishan. What's the reason?
Chepa.
Yeah, Chepa Echa. Woo! Chepa. We say Chepa. Short name is Chepa. Say Chepa. Chepa Thak. Chepa is the reason. Okay? Tayende. By the way, it's a custom when you teach to keep going until the student makes a mistake. Tayende. Why is it a dark? Why is it a reason? Why is it the reason? What makes it a reason? Tayende. Daksu kupa yimbeche. Say daksu kupa. Yimbeche. Because you said it as a reason. That's the takitini. That's the definition of reason. Okay? Agree? Ah, good. Then, datapa yimbeche. Tayanda yimbabha. So I guess because sound is an unchanging thing, it's a good reason, right, Miss Magna? Tayanda yimbabha. I guess it's a good reason, right? Yimba. Chi-chir. Say, chi-chir. Why'd you say that? Oh, it's not a good reason? Dayanak. Mayimbata. It's not a good reason? Duh. Duh, right. That's why I said it's not a good reason. Yimbata. By the way, when I go up, it's not sarcastic anymore. It's what I believe, okay? Say, yimbata. It is too a good reason because toxic up by yimbata. Because I gave it as a reason. Hey, wake up back there. Come on, dude. Are you telling me just because I put something forth as a reason, it doesn't make it a good reason? That's what I said, stupid head. Okay. Chepa Tak. Wake up back there. All right. Okay, now we get into those three relationships. Three relationships must hold if the thing is a good reason. Three relationships must hold if the thing is a good reason. One must be three. If something is three, it must be two. And if something is not two, it can't be three. Chokchu, Jekyab, Dokyab. Okay? Those three relationships that must hold if the thing is going to be a good reason. Okay? This is the Chokchu. Okay? It's the relationship between one and three. Dra, what? Chepa. The fact that sound is a made thing. Okay? Chigu Yandaki. Who and I didn't, plus see, I didn't pick on you. So, Chino Yandaki, the KLM, a good answer. I don't think a good opponent has to accept this. KLM, a good answer. A good opponent doesn't have to accept this. He doesn't have to accept that sound is a main thing. Does he already accept that sound is a main thing? Don't forget the proof. Take sound, it's a changing thing because it's a made thing. Did he already understand that it's a made thing? Yes, because it's the definition of a good reason is a reason where all three relationships hold. He must have already seen that sound is a made thing. So he accepts Chokchu. He accepts Chokchu. That's the first relationship. You can check. By the way, I don't know about you, but I had a debate with somebody this morning, and they were being illogical. And I could see there wasn't any Chokchu. You see what I mean? You'll get good at it after a while. You say, oh my gosh, my boss just did an attempted logical statement to me and he's missing the first relationship. That's, you know, that's why he doesn't make sense, you know. Here's Jacob. If 3-2. Chena means if something is a made thing. Chena means if something is a made thing. It must be a changing thing. And that is the expression of the second relationship. That's the expression of what we call, what do we call it? The positive necessity. The positive necessity. If something is number three, it must be two. The second part of your checklist of three items that have to be present if the thing is a good reason. Okay? One and three must be true. And if something is three, it must be two, must be true. Okay? That's called jekyll. It's on your checklist of the three necessary relationships. It's number two. Yeah. I'm saying it the same thing. Three must relate to one. And if something is three, it must be number two. And what's the last one? If something's not number two, it can't be number three. If something's not a changing thing, it can't be a made thing. Okay, and that's the third one. Where'd it go? I think we should have about 13 with this one. What do you guys? Well, this one's now 13, right? Mitakna machebekyo. And Miss Mames, I think I left it off the homework key, okay? The name of it. I think. Okay. The name of this one is Dokyap. Yeah. I'm sorry, you're right. I'm sorry, he's right. This is a mistake, okay? Everybody scratch this off. Tak. Okay, he's right. Tak na ma chebekyo, which is the opposite of mitakna. Okay? Sorry. Please correct that on the homework keys as well, or Prunsok's hand will get tired. I know you'll appreciate that this is all done at 4 in the morning or 5 in the morning or something like that. Okay. Say, Tumbe? Tumbe? Tumbe means a good example to prove this thing. Goomba. Just like a water pitcher, dumbhead. What's the difference between a sound and a water pitcher? Same principle. Okay? That's Tumbe. Tumbe means a good example. Okay, last thing before we do a little bit of debating. Did everybody get their numbers, by the way? You have them. That'll be a riot. Why don't you start going around now and just, are they in a hat or something? Let people jump, pick out of a hat. Okay. And we'll show you the last part later. Just walk around and give people one. Last thing. If you read the reading, there are actually something like six different ways to divide good reasons. For example, you could divide good reasons into positive ones and negative ones. You could divide them into those three kinds that we had, results, nature, and negative, like that. But there's a very interesting one. The last one, I think, is the most important one. And I think to indicate that in the text, they have this big ornament in front of it, meaning, hey, guess what? This is the most important one. All correct reasons can be divided into those that you give yourself and those that you give to others. Okay? It's very interesting. And if you think about it, this is the whole essence of Buddhism, right? We talked about it in the Friday night class. I mean, really, Buddhism is a private thing. What you're trying to prove is emptiness to yourself. You're meditating on emptiness to yourself, for example. In logic, in the opening reading, what was the most important thing to prove? You don't know about other people. You can't judge other people. For all you know, they could have been enlightened a million years ago. Forget 10 days ago. You know, I'm talking a million years ago. You don't know that anybody in this room wasn't enlightened a million years ago. Come on, use a Dagyan Dak. You know, Mi Daso Chuchen. Consider all the people in this room. Sangye Mayinde, they are not enlightened tantric deities. Now give me a Dagyan Dak. You know, give me a proof that they're not. Huh? Dingyan Yong Yimbe. Because they are experiencing Dingyan. Tamadu. He said because they are not Buddhas yet, because they are still experiencing suffering. Tamadu. Which is what? They're not experiencing suffering. Prove it. You see what I mean? There's no jowa. There's no dayana. There's no correct reason. You can't prove it. You can prove it for yourself, perhaps. Okay, if you are, I don't know. But I am. Okay, so I can prove it for myself. Anyway, all good reasons must be divided into two kinds. Those which you present to your own mind and those which you present to others. Okay, and I'll give you those. And that's the last thing for tonight. This is democracy. She's choosing your... This is like having the... It's like when somebody hands you a fortune cookie, you know? It's like you don't have any say in it. Yeah.
I am Buddha, I can use somebody else, right? And I cannot use my special knowledge to be able to do it, because I have to
both you. I'm sorry. If I'm a Buddha, can I give a Rangan Kakitayanda?
Could I? I would not have that experience of what you experience. So you
right.
have to necessarily prove the thing that
you cannot. I think you could say that if I could read your mind. Because what did the text say? You can't judge other people unless you are like me. Meaning, unless you're someone who can read other people's minds. Okay?
If you're speaking with me,
yeah.
That you can never see
mind. Yeah. I can never give that as a reason to you because I don't know if you can do it or not. You know?
Nobody could read that.
Well, unless you could read other people's minds. Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to be a Buddha to read other people's minds. A person who's seen emptiness directly can read other people's minds for a short time afterwards, automatically. Say, Rangdun, Kapki, Tayanat. Rangdun means for your own sake. Rangdun means for your own sake. Kap means on that particular occasion. Okay, on the occasion of your own sake, meaning in the context. How about in context? In the context of yourself. Ran dun kap means in the context of yourself. Tayan da means a good reason, a correct reason. Okay. And the opposite of that would be shen dun kap ki tayan da. We had shen tonight in shen cell. It meant other thing, other. Okay. Shen means other. And those are the names of those two reasons. I'm not going to give you the other five divisions. You can look them up. You can read them. Okay? But we got to start debating. Okay? So let's go for it. Okay? Yes, Kyapa Machu.
I'm not sure.
I think you missed Doc. Doc was number 10, and it was Chippa. Yeah. And Magda was the one who gave it to us. Okay. Okay, please take your positions. Okay. We don't have a lot of time, so try to do it.
This is the end of Class 9.
You have been listening to The Art of Reasoning with Geshe Michael Roach, presented by the Asian Classics Institute.
The Asian Classics Institute is dedicated to preserving the pure teachings and practice of Buddhism. For a listing of other topics available, write to The Asian Classics Institute, P.O. Box 20373, New York, New York, 10009, or call 212-475-7752.